Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elisa Gleason with the One Star Foundation. You are on the monthly grantee call for December. So hopefully everyone's in the right place. Before we get started, I just wanted to try and take roll so we could capture how many or who was on the call with us today. So there's not really a clean way to do this. You all just kind of shout out and identify yourselves if you would.
Aisha Sandoval from Avanza El Paso.
Thank you, Aisha.
Mary Ellen from ACE, and also Katie and Nathan.
Thank you, guys, from ACE.
Tara from AHEC in Abilene.
Hi, I'm Merle Colasso. I'm calling from Texas Hippie, the state office, Denton, Texas.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Morgan with Texas Conservation Corps.
I heard Texas Conservation Corps. And who is speaking?
This is Morgan. Erin Frey usually is on these calls. She can't be here today, so I'm taking notes for her.
And Morgan, what program are you with? I'm sorry.
Well, I'm with Texas Conservation Corps at American Youth Works.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
And Lori and Emma from Keep Austin House.
Thank you, Lori.
And this is Heather with Swift, and Sylvan is also here.
Thank you, Swift.
Jacqueline Remick from Travis County Capital.
Thank you, Travis County.
Monica Glasgow with College Forward.
Monica, this is Jennifer Justice, CIS, and Eric Metcalf and Suki Steinhauser also.
Thank you, guys.
This is Trina Finley with CASE in Houston.
Okay. All righty.
This is Meredith Donovan with Communities and Schools of the Heart of Texas in Waco.
I got you. Go, baby.
Elisa, this is Chris and Joni at Breakthrough.
Chris and Joni. Hi, Breakthrough.
Hello.
Did you hear Laurie Ballering and Mike Murphy with Project Grad in Houston?
Oh, thank you, Project Grad. I missed you.
Okay.
This is Elizabeth from City Square.
Alrighty. Thank you, City Square. Anyone else joining us on the call today?
This is Ross from City of San Antonio.
Alrighty. Thank you, Ron. Alright. Well, thank you. I think that captures everyone. I believe that we'll go ahead and mute you all now that we've gotten roll taken to just reduce any of the background noise on the phone.
All conference participants are muted.
Sorry, folks, I accidentally muted One Star, so you should be able to hear us now.
All conference participants are unmuted.
Hi, all. I'm so sorry about that. I was talking for a few minutes and I realized we were muted. Can you all confirm verbally for me that you can hear us right now?
I can hear you. Denton can hear you.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and mute you all and start over. So apologies for the technical difficulties. Just one moment.
All conference participants are muted.
All right. Thank you so much. This is Emily Steinberg, Associate Director of AmeriCorps at One Star, and I'm joined here by Elisa Gleason, Miranda Spiro, and Laura West. Anna and Jerry are out today. I'm going to go ahead and start over. So happy winter. Today is December 19th, and we wanted to have this important call with all of you before the busy holiday season begins, as there are a number of very important updates to cover today. We have you all muted for now, but we will leave as much time for questions as possible at the end of today's call, because I know that there will be many questions. So the very first update that I would like to present to all of you is the healthcare options for AmeriCorps members in 2014. As you all are aware, One Star received guidance on this to share with all of you on Monday. We actually did hear a little bit from CNCS on Friday, but the information was embargoed until this past Monday. So you all should have received an important email from your grants officer forwarding the information from the corporation. At this time, OneStar has very little to no control over what happens with healthcare options with regards to AmeriCorps members. All of this is really being worked out by the corporation in conjunction with Health and Human Services at the federal level. But I do think we wanted to draw your attention to a few important highlights of that update. So if you all could pull up that email, if you have access to a computer right now, it would be helpful if you could follow along with the original email sent to you either by CNCS or by your OneStar grants officer. So as you know, beginning January 1st, 2014, AmeriCorps members have new options for quality affordable health insurance made available by the Affordable Care Act, which we are calling the ACA for short. And as you know, the ACA requires new minimum essential coverage, also known as MEC. Sorry to throw in so many acronyms. It's important that you all understand that this is going to be a little bit of a strange transition year, not just for the AmeriCorps world, but also for the for-profit and nonprofit sector and for individuals across the United States. It is our understanding, and as you can see, CNCS made special care to note in that third paragraph of their email that over the next year, AmeriCorps will be working to improve the quality of health care for its members and to provide insurance that meets the requirements of the ACA in the near future. That said, the corporation is the first to admit, as it does state in its guidance, that there is currently no plan that we are aware of in America that meets both the AmeriCorps requirements as outlined in the AmeriCorps provisions and the new minimum essential coverage requirements. I know that that puts many of you in a little bit of an awkward situation, and so I wanted to make sure that I drew your attention to the fourth paragraph in CNCS's guidance, which is very important, and it states, at this time, AmeriCorps programs must continue to offer a health plan to full-time AmeriCorps members, but these plans may not meet the standards of the Affordable Care Act. For example, these plans may exclude coverage of pre-existing conditions. If the plan does not meet the new consumer protection standards of the ACA and you do not have other coverage, you may be required to pay a tax payment at the end of the year under the individual responsibility provision. Therefore, you should make sure to review your options carefully and make the choice that is right for you. So, as you know, CNCS emailed this information directly to all enrolled AmeriCorps members this past Monday evening. I believe it went out around 7 o'clock p.m. and probably many of you have received questions from your members. The good news about this is that the corporation is acknowledging that AmeriCorps programs must first and foremost adhere to the AmeriCorps requirements. That is a condition of your AmeriCorps grant and of your OneStar AmeriCorps funding. There is no way around that. And many of you, I believe, already had plans to do an open enrollment with your members with your AmeriCorps healthcare plans. OneStar does not endorse any one vendor or healthcare provider over another. However, at this time, the only vendor that I am aware of that currently does offer AmeriCorps compliant coverage and will continue to offer it after January 1st is the Core Network plan administered by Willis and Summit. And so I know that many of you are working with them, and we have been in close communication with them because, as many of you know, we are a statewide member of the Core Network in order to provide you all access to that benefit program at no additional cost to you in terms of having to sign up for a membership. So we have continued to be in close communication with the corporation, with the Core Network, and we want to remain in close communication with all of you as you kind of navigate this brand new world of healthcare coverage in 2014. It is important to know that basically there are those two different sets of requirements, the AmeriCorps requirements, which you must adhere to as an AmeriCorps grantee, and which the Core Network plan does meet, for instance. And there may be other plans that arise in 2014 that will also offer those. I don't know. And at the same time, AmeriCorps members as individual citizens must find a way to either be compliant with the ACA after January 1st or to budget to pay the $95 tax penalty or 1% of their income, whichever is greater, which for them will most likely be $95. So it is really in AmeriCorps members' hands as individual citizens to determine how they want to proceed. OneStar does not have all the information, but it does appear as though AmeriCorps members in general would likely qualify for a subsidy if they do go onto the healthcare exchange and look at their options, or if they do call the hotline and work with healthcare.gov to find out what their options are. If that is the case, depending on their income and what their financial situation is, it is very, very likely that AmeriCorps members would qualify for very, very low cost, if not no cost, healthcare coverage on healthcare.gov. So I would encourage all of your members to go on healthcare.gov, to call the hotline, to go to a local, if there's a local community center that is offering those kind, that kind of counseling, to have AmeriCorps members explore whether they are, they plan to register on healthcare.gov. I believe the deadline to, for open enrollment on healthcare.gov, according to that website, is March 31st. So it's important that they take care of this by March 31st for their own benefit. Or they need to start budgeting to pay a tax penalty of $95. It is, that penalty will not be incurred until April 2015, so it's important that they know that basically they would not have to pay that until not this tax season, but the following tax season. But please do make sure that they understand that they have to make a choice as an individual citizen on how they want to be compliant with the Affordable Care Act. It is OneStar's understanding that the corporation will likely be looking into this further in 2014 and hopefully will offer a better solution by the next program year, hopefully by September 2014. We know that many AmeriCorps programs are just frantically trying to understand the requirements, but it's important that basically you uphold your end of the agreement as an AmeriCorps grantee and offer the AmeriCorps compliant health care coverage to your members just as you always have done. And some other good news is that we have understood from the Core Network that they have recently confirmed their rates for 2014 and that the increase was not as high as they originally thought it might be. They have published their new enrollment documents, and it appears that the policy will be approximately $160 per month per member, and you all are already, you know, considered members of the Core Network through OneStar's statewide affiliate membership. So I will let you guys ask more questions at the end of the call, but at this point, that's about all the guidance that OneStar can give. And, of course, there is lots of information on healthcare.gov, particularly about exemptions, which your members may possibly qualify for. There are very, very specific reasons that you can gain exemption. They range from, you know, having been uninsured for less than 3 months of the year to, let's see, what else, to being incarcerated. Hopefully that's not the case for them. Having been homeless, having been evicted in the past 6 months, or having faced eviction or foreclosure, having recently experienced domestic violence, having recently experienced the death of a close family member, having filed for bankruptcy in the last 6 months, having medical expenses that they couldn't pay in the last 24 months. The list goes on and on. And you may also want to pay particular attention to number 12 exemption, which has to do with Medicaid. I do not know the details of that, but it is possible that members may become exempt from the $95 fee if they meet any of the exemption requirements outlined in healthcare.gov. So please take a look at that. And make sure that members are just aware of all of their options and explore all of their options going into 2014, and that they are aware that open enrollment on healthcare.gov does appear to end on March 31st. So they have a little bit of a grace period before they would be subject to the $95 fine. Hopefully that helps. Okay, I'm going to move on to a few other important updates and come back to this for questions. Next on our agenda is the new whistleblower rights and remedies guidance that was sent out to all programs by our grants officers this past week. It may be helpful for you to pull up that email as well. We've also now posted that guidance on our grantee resource library at onestarfoundation.org. So your grants officers should have forwarded to you an email that contained information from the corporation regarding the kind of expanded whistleblower protection that does apply to all corporation grantees and therefore subgrantees, as well as contractors and subcontractors. So all of you as one-star grantees would be subject to this new whistleblower rights and remedies guidance. It's important that we take our responsibility seriously to prevent potential waste, fraud, and abuse of federal grant funds. And so when Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2013, which happened last January in 2012, it included an important provision, which was Section 828, which protects grantees, contractors, and subcontractors who report suspected waste, fraud, and abuse. So they are protected from reprisal, recrimination, or adverse action for reporting suspected illegal activity involving federal funds. And with that email came a one-page document that CNCS has prepared for all CNCS grantees and contractors to post in a highly visible, highly trafficked place within your organization. This does extend to your employees as well as your members. So it's very important that you provide that information and document how you've provided that information. One Star may choose to include checking in on that when we are on site for monitoring our other site visits at your locations. So please make sure you post it wherever you post other important HR documents at your organization. And it's probably not a bad idea to email it out to all of your employees and members as well, just to cover all of your bases. So hopefully there aren't any questions about that. It's pretty straightforward. And if you do have questions, we will work with you or escalate them to CNCS. And moving right along, we wanted to talk a little bit about MLK Day. Hopefully you all are planning to celebrate MLK Day in whatever way makes sense for your program. MLK Day is January 20th, 2014. We are working with the CNCS Texas State Office to coordinate registering all Texas projects on mlkday.gov. That website includes a search engine that is powered by All for Good, which is a national search engine that also feeds into serve.gov, which you all are probably pretty familiar with by now. We are asking that all programs register your MLK Day projects as soon as possible so that we can really promote all that we're doing in Texas across AmeriCorps, SeniorCorps, and VISTA. So please make sure that you put something into mlkday.gov if you are participating in any way in any MLK Day project. Even if it is not your own project, we are asking that you at least put some type of placeholder project registration in there and to make sure that you mention that it is for 2014 MLK Day. All for Good helps people register projects across the country for a variety of reasons. So it's important that you identify it as a 2014 MLK Day project somewhere in your posting. We had originally hoped to get all of those registered by last Friday, but CNCS has since pushed back the deadline to December 27th. So we're just asking that before you leave for the holiday break, that you get something registered at mlkday.gov. And we look forward to highlighting all of the wonderful things that you guys do on January 20th or leading up to January 20th in recognition of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In addition, the Texas CNCS State Office is hoping to compile a statewide report of all of your activities. And so we are asking that grantees be prepared to submit a succinct, brief report of MLK Day activities the day after. So that is Tuesday, January 21st. You will be hearing more from One Star about what that form will look like. The CNCS State Office is still developing it in conjunction with CNCS headquarters. But it will be relatively basic. Please just try to keep track of what you all do, take photos, take attendance at who attends your MLK Day project. Great. We're looking forward to hearing about all of those things. All right. Next on the agenda is a very exciting update that I am very pleased to announce. So as many of you know, One Star has been waiting since 2011 when we submitted a statewide alternate search protocol request to the corporation, which would exempt Texas grantees and subgrantees from having to maintain documentation of check results as per Texas Government Code Section 411. I am very pleased to let you know that as of 2 hours ago, OneStar has received an approved alternate search protocol for our statewide ASP that exempts Texas grantees from maintaining results of your secure site checks. That implies to both secure site state checks and FBI checks as well. It does not prevent you or exempt you from having to conduct NSOPW checks or any type of public search checks and to maintain that documentation. But we are very, very pleased to give you this early Christmas present on behalf of OneStar, and we will be sharing that document with you all shortly. It is dated today, December 19th, 2013, and this will be a day that goes down in OneStar history as a very, very important moment. So thank you for your patience over the past 2.5 years. We have been working with the CNCS legal team and grants management team to make our case since 2011, and we're very, very thrilled that it did get approved. So congratulations to all of you. Okay, next we wanted to talk briefly about what we're calling member extra hours opportunities. And some of you have already spoken with us about this a little bit more in depth. It is OneStar's understanding that some programs have from time to time allowed AmeriCorps members to gain extra hours during their service to either enhance their member experience or to allow them to make up service hours if they are at risk of falling behind schedule on completing their hours. And OneStar has been working with those programs to collect information about how they're doing this and what their policies and procedures look like. And we are preparing some forthcoming guidance to send out to all of you that will include some basic kind of parameters that we believe are best practices if your program does want to offer those types of extra hour opportunities. And we're defining extra hours opportunities as activities that fall outside the typical scope of an AmeriCorps member's regular service schedule or position duties. So it may not be something that's within their core position, but which are still considered allowable and in alignment with your program's approved AmeriCorps grant. So, for instance, if an AmeriCorps tutor who serves in an educational setting during the week is doing tutoring as their core service activity, they may also be accruing extra hours by taking on a special research project related to their field under the program's request and guidance, or participating in occasional service projects, as most AmeriCorps programs in America do, or completing some type of written assignment, maybe related to life after AmeriCorps or something else. So those are just some examples of the types of extra hours opportunities that we're aware of at OneStar. And there may be many more that your program is participating in. But I also wanted to let you know that in this guidance that you will receive in the near future from OneStar, we will not be setting any additional requirements other than the requirements that are already outlined in the AmeriCorps provisions and regulations and as set by Congress and the Corporation for National and Community Service. However, some of our guidance and best practices may affect you in terms of how we're interpreting the AmeriCorps provisions and requirements. So, for instance, I just wanted to alert you to a few pieces of the guidance that will come out that you may want to be aware of as you're moving into 2014 and as members obviously will be getting closer to the ends of their term of service and may need to accrue those extra hours to make up hours that they've missed. There are a couple things that I wanted to alert you to. So the first thing is that obviously extra hours opportunities cannot in any way include any prohibited activities as outlined in the AmeriCorps provisions, Section 4D, 2E. Secondly, they should be in line with your program's approved grant focus area. So if you are an education program, your members should not be doing drastically different things without having something written into your grant application narrative and or position descriptions that would allow them to do those things. So for instance, a good example of that is OneStar's disaster requirement, which as you will remember, we are having all programs write into their grants and position descriptions from now on to ensure that if there is a local or state need, that your members can allowably be put to work doing those disaster-related activities because it is a state priority and we have pre-approved that in your grant application. We also will be encouraging programs to have a verification system in place to verify that those extra hours are truly happening and that they are considered reasonable. So many extra hours opportunities seem to involve things that do not have direct member supervision in place, or that they may be activities that members are doing off-site or, you know, not in your regular work environment. So examples of verification systems that we are hoping to see in the field include having more than just a sign-in and sign-out sheet. So there could be a self-certification process or a supervisor certification process, some type of, you know, keeping an agenda of what they were doing, keeping some type of tangible documentation of the outcome of their service. So if they're doing a research project, you would keep a copy of that research report that came from that member's time. So we're looking for some best practices to be implemented. In addition, we want to make sure that basically the way that the time is being recorded for these extra hours opportunities, that it reflects the actual number of hours accrued. And so this should not come as that much of a surprise to all of you. This is basically a requirement of federal grants. As outlined in the OMB circulars, that timekeeping must reflect actual activity of each employee and that they cannot include estimates. So you cannot allow members to count time as estimates in any way, just as you as project staff on the AmeriCorps grant cannot estimate your time on timesheets either. So we are looking for actual hours, and we will be clarifying that because that is nothing new, that is what is required in the OMB circulars of federal grantees. So be looking for that. And in addition, we will be clarifying that we expect programs that offer extra hours opportunities to record that member's time under the appropriate category on member timesheets. So for instance, if your member is doing direct service as an extra hours opportunity, such as a community service project, they would count those hours under direct service on their timesheets. If they are participating in more of a training type of activity, such as being at a Life After AmeriCorps training, then the member would count those hours on their timesheet as training, and they are subject to the training maximum cap of 20% on their hours. And the same thing of fundraising. If your program has allowable types of fundraising that meet the CNCS requirements, then that member must count that as fundraising time if it is allowable, and they are subject to that 10% cap on fundraising hours. So we look forward to sending out this guidance soon, and I'm sure that your grants officer will be working with you to see if you have any questions and to make sure that you have something in place to make sure that your program is being compliant with CNCS requirements and AmeriCorps provisions. Okay. I'll get through a few more, and then I'm going to turn it over to Elisa to do a brief update on our formula continuation. But briefly, some disability inclusion and training updates. I wanted you all to know that One Star no longer has a dedicated inclusion coordinator on staff. Suzanne Potts has transitioned out of One Star, so we are all very sad about that, but we no longer have dedicated disability inclusion dollars for state commissions. However, One Star has been working to ensure that we carry on the legacy of our disability inclusion work. So as you may notice, we continue to offer inclusion resources on our website. We will continue to build in inclusion-related resources and updates in our AmeriCorps updates. And we will actually be getting an intern in spring 2014 that will help us focus and transition our disability inclusion efforts and hopefully offer a training this spring to programs. We are still working through the details on what that might look like, but we are hoping to offer some type of intermediate to advanced inclusion training for any program staff in the field in Texas who might want to attend. Likely it will occur either as a pre- or post-conference to all grantee meeting, but we are still working through those details, and we'll share them with you as soon as we have them. So we look forward to introducing you to our new Disability Inclusion and AmeriCorps intern in spring 2014, and I'm happy to say that her name is actually Emily, and her last name begins with S. So you will be meeting Emily Shryock, who is our spring 2014 UT School of Social Work graduate intern, hopefully in the next few months. Some other exciting training event updates. Due to a request that came in from several different programs in the Austin area, we are pleased to offer a civic reflection training that is scheduled now for February 27th through 28th. We are working to confirm an agenda, but we are very thankful to one of our grantees, Communities and Schools of Central Texas, for providing the in-kind space. And we also have two program directors that we believe will be able to lead this training. So a shout out to Jennifer Jess of CIS Central Texas and to Gabby Garcia of ACE. So thank you so much for being willing to help us put on the civic reflection training. Looks like we will already have 2 to 3 programs attending with staff and or team leader members. So we are looking forward to opening that up as space is available. Please let your grants officer know if you have program staff or appropriate AmeriCorps members who might want to attend that training. We are ideally looking for members that will either be serving in a team leader capacity or who will be re-upping for a second term of service with your program next year so that we are investing in civic reflection facilitators who can continue on this practice for more than just a few months. So please do let us know if you have anybody that would be interested in attending that training in late February. In addition, we are moving ahead with finalizing our all grantee meeting dates. Again, we have actually narrowed it down to 2 possible dates that we are looking into, so we wanted to go ahead and give those to you now so that you can pencil them in on your calendar. They are March 27th through 28th and April 10th through 11th. So please do mark those on your calendar as possible dates when you would have to send a program contact and a fiscal contact, preferably your primary program or end primary fiscal contacts, to that meeting. However, you can request to send secondary contacts if your primary contacts are unavailable those dates. So let your grants officer know if you would need any special accommodations or if you need to request that somebody else attend in your place during one of those dates. We are also looking at finalizing a new AmeriCorps staff orientation date sometime this spring. Hopefully it would be the day before all grantee meeting, similar to when we might offer an inclusion training. So they might be happening possibly simultaneously. Let us know if you think that you will have new AmeriCorps staff who may want to attend that. Again, it is about a day and a half long, so please let us know what your schedules look like and who those individuals are at your organization that would want to be registered. A couple last things before Elisa gets the floor. Our Mayor's Day of Recognition for National Service is coming up. It is April 1st, as many of you know by now, so it will be an interesting day to see if we can incorporate some April Fool's Day themes into our Mayor's Day events across the state. We are working with the state office to secure as many mayors in Texas as possible to sign on. As you know, Texas was the top-performing state last year in the nation, with 58 mayors who signed on across the state. This year, I will tell you that we have a very ambitious plan, and we are looking to increase the number of mayors who sign on in Texas from 58 to 90 in 2014. So if you know of any mayors in your community where AmeriCorps or Senior Corps members are placed, including VISTA as well, that have not previously signed on to the Mayor's Day, and the list is available on the CNCS website, please do let us know if you would be interested and willing to help contact them and put out a request for them to sign on. This can include small communities as well. And we are looking at trying to incorporate the unincorporated communities as well. So, for example, in the Austin area, Del Valle is a region that is unincorporated and does not have a mayor, but we will be working with them to see if somebody from that community can sign on as a community representative to represent areas where there may be no mayor or even a county government where we could get somebody to sign on as well. So if you know of county judges, commissioners, or unincorporated community leaders that might be willing to sign on, please do let us know. We will do whatever it takes to get to 90 mayors in 2014, and we will be asking for your help come January. So stay tuned for more updates on that. We are looking at events that will probably happen as they did last year in Austin, Houston, and San Antonio. We are also hoping to expand those events to include hopefully a Dallas event, possibly a Rio Grande Valley event, and perhaps an East Texas event. But if you know of other communities or if you're in a community that would like to host an event, shout out to El Paso. That would be great. We'd love to see more events take place where the mayor can actually host National Service members for, you know, a brief 1 to 2 hour ceremony where he can recognize their work in your community. So we look forward to partnering with you on that exciting and fun initiative. And a couple of just date heads up. You all should have on your calendars by now the AmeriCorps 20th Anniversary Commemoration Ceremony. That will be September 12th, 2014. It will likely be in the afternoon because we are on Central Time, and nationally the televised version of that swearing-in ceremony and anniversary celebration will probably be happening in Washington, D.C. So we're kind of penciling in the entire afternoon of September 12, 2014, and we hope that your programs and your communities will participate in getting all of your members who are enrolled as of that date to come out for a fun event in your community. We are hoping to host one in Austin that will be large enough to accommodate any programs willing to bring their members to Austin. So let us know if you have plans, ideas, or special thoughts on September 12, 2014. And last but not least, we will be publishing a notice of funding opportunity for some small grants related to our Volunteer Generation Fund. That should be coming out in the next few business days. The deadline for that will be January 30th, so it's about 5 weeks out right now. They will be nothing like AmeriCorps applications. It will be a smaller, more simple grant application, and it will be it will require a significant match. CNCS for the VGF grants this year is requiring basically no more of the budget cannot be more than 50% federal share. So that means basically the grantee provides 50%, and the federal share is the other 50%. We're looking at offering a few grants of between $25,000 to $50,000. That can be used towards building volunteer management capacity for organizations that want to focus on building volunteer programs for times of disaster. So if you might be interested, please do look for that notice of funding opportunity. The email should be getting to you within the next week. And I will now turn it over to Elisa for a brief grant-making update.
Hello, everyone. This is Elisa again. I just wanted to provide a brief update on the formula continuation process. I've gotten several questions from folks related to continuation this year. Not to take to make any assumptions, for those of you who are maybe new, what continuation is it's the time when you all are going to be providing us with a really short update on your current application in order to continue your funding for either year 2 or year 3 of your 3-year project period. So all AmeriCorps programs in our portfolio operate under a 3-year project period, and that 3-year project period is made up of 3 1-year budget periods. So before your second budget period and before your third budget period, in order to continue your funding, you're required to submit a continuation application. The continuation application is a non-competitive application, and it's only a time for you all to provide us with updates on your performance to date, information on any changes to your program design from the current year, information on your enrollment and retention rates, and I think that's about it. It's fairly straightforward. So for those of you who are funded with formula dollars, I'm going to be releasing the continuation instructions directly to you via email in the next month. So in January, I'll be emailing those directly to you. And then I expect that the deadline for those to be returned or back in eGrant will be probably either April, mid to late April, I would imagine right now. So if you are a competitively funded program, if you were finishing your third year budget period this year and participating in the recompete process, then this message is not for you. This message is only for folks that are formula funded programs currently in year 1 or year 2 of your 3-year project period. So if you're confused about any of that or if you have any questions, please either reach out to me or your grants officers, but expect in the month of January to receive your formula continuation instructions. Thank you. That's all.
Great. Thank you so much, Elisa. And before we open it up for questions, we did want to make sure you all had on your calendar our 2014 grantee call schedule. These are all third Thursdays, held from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock Central. So please do note the different dates that were sent out to you. Our next call will be January 16th, and it will be an informal peer-led call on a topic to be announced. If you have any thoughts on informal peer calls that your program would be willing to either lead or co-lead, we would love to hear your thoughts and what is of interest to you all. So without further ado, I will open it up for questions. Please make sure that you have muted yourself using the mute button on your phone or press star 1 if you don't want to be heard.
All conference participants are unmuted.
Okay. Does anybody have questions on any of the agenda items?
All right, Emily. Sorry. I'll kick it off, Emily. It's Jennifer from CIS.
Hi, Jennifer.
So I have one easy question. Are we going to get the MLK project form ahead of time? I'm just thinking, like, I'll actually be out of the office on the 21st when it's going to be due.
That's my understanding. Hopefully we'll have it by early January to send out, but CNCS is developing that.
Okay, and then my second question, of course, is about healthcare. So sure. I understand that, you know, the compliance for AmeriCorps and the compliance for the ACA. My question is if members go to the marketplace and list us as their employer, essentially, we would be we would then have a potential to have a penalty against us because we haven't offered affordable care for them. And it's the weird thing, they're not employees, they're members, but I don't know if there's any way to be to designate that within the marketplace when they apply.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. That is probably something we would want to submit up to CNCS. If you haven't already provided it in writing, it would be helpful if you could write it up exactly as you want it to be sent.
Okay.
I do not know the answer to that. I do know that, well, at least my understanding is that businesses have been provided some type of one-year exemption from that fine. So it may be that you're considered out of compliance, but you don't get fined as an employer. So you may want to look into that or understand what the implications are for CIS.
Right. But I don't know what the implications are for CIS if they're not considered employees. And that's my concern is I'm telling members you have two options and you can suddenly go to the marketplace or you can take this $95 hit, but there's also implications. There could be big implications to us as an agency.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested if your member does speak with a healthcare.gov representative, what guidance would you have on the phone? So if you all can hear interesting anecdotes of what kind of guidance members are receiving from healthcare.gov representatives, please do pass those along to us because we obviously can't call healthcare.gov ourselves and, you know, act as an AmeriCorps member. So let us know what you find out about that in terms of what their guidance is. Based on the CNCS email, it sounds like members should be able to go on the exchange and purchase their own ACA-compliant health care for low to no-cost premiums once they have their subsidy, assuming they qualify.
So, Emily, this is Mary Ellen. I have a follow-up question to that. Is the marketplace going to recognize their stipend as not as salary? Because I think that could be a potential problem for them.
I do not know. That is a wonderful question. Also something we would like to ask CNCS. So,
then I have a follow-up question. Our member service agreement states that members have to decline the AmeriCorps coverage if they're covered by another policy. And mm-hmm. So will we need to do a contract amendment? And I thought that was CNCS guidance, so now this new ruling is kind of in conflict with that. Could you ask CNCS for guidance on that?
Yes, we will. And I think that is probably one of the outstanding bigger questions. Based on the CNCS email, again, it sounds like they are operating as though this is a brave new world and members must continue to be offered the health care. Again, though, my understanding is that employers and businesses are considered the fine and the tax penalty is delayed for them. So it's possible that even if, for instance, a member could stay on their parents' plan, even if it weren't ACA compliant, it may still exempt them from the fine, if that makes sense.
No, I know, but I'm asking if we need, because we are now contradicting what's in their written member contract, do we need to do anything about that?
That's a good question. I think I would say not at this time, but if you could send us the language in your contract, or I guess we probably have it on file, but double-check it with us so that we can look at it via email.
And I thought that was not something ACE made up, but something required by AmeriCorps, that they couldn't have two policies.
Mary Ellen, it's in the provision.
Okay.
Emily, can I ask all right, this is Jennifer again. Can I ask another question? So this is my concern in the overall picture. Tomorrow's our last day before the holiday break. Members suddenly got this email. They're freaking out. They're like, what the heck? And they have to get on the marketplace and do all this research, and many of them aren't. We're all trying to figure out the Affordable Care Act, and it's a huge mess. And they're trying to figure this out and figure out the lowest cost. So my concern is if they suddenly go on to healthcare.gov, because they're worried about this $95 penalty, if the information isn't put in there correctly, they're not going to get the best bang for their buck, and they're going to have to pay more than they should have had to pay. Do we have a timeline when information from CINCS is going to come down? Because, I don't know what to tell members, essentially. Mm-hmm. And the information that came from CINCS said, ask your programs. They know the answers.
I know, wasn't that clever? I think
I love that, especially after I got it after my members.
Yeah. I do think that hopefully there will be some type of follow-up guidance that comes out from CNCS, but I cannot guarantee that there will be. This may be all that they are able to say due to the legal counsel that they're receiving. So it might be better to ask those things as specific questions. I do think I would let members know that they do not need to worry about this before the holidays too much if they are going to continue to be enrolled or have at least access to your program's offered AmeriCorps-compliant health care plan, as they were probably already having access to. So as long as there won't be any changes with what you all are offering as an AmeriCorps program, then they do have that grace period, it appears, based on the healthcare.gov website, until March 31st. So I would encourage them to explore their options, but make a highly informed decision about what their options are. And this may just have to be something that you organize your members to look into early in the new year so that they are all understanding what each other is hearing. Other questions?
And then I have lots of questions. It says in the corporation guidance that we might be able to pay if they're charged a subsidy. How does that work? Is it added to their stipend because then it's taxable income? How do I charge it to my grant? Do I charge it under health care? Do I charge it under something else?
My understanding, based on what we've heard from CNCS, is that reimbursing members for ACA coverage may be considered an allowable cost, but it will definitely be considered taxable income. So that's kind of the bad thing. But healthcare.gov is not set up for third parties to pay. So, for instance, even if you wanted to, purchase group coverage for your members on healthcare.gov, you couldn't as of right now as an employer. So the individual has to go on and register and request reimbursement. But my understanding is that it will likely be considered an allowable cost if you decide that that's the route you want to go, but that it will be considered taxable income. So that's unfortunate.
And then I know you're saying probably additional guidance won't be coming out from CNCS. So, I'm just curious what other programs are thinking. Is it I'm going to allow every member another $150 subsidy for the health care? Because, the premiums can range from, $400 a month to, nothing.
And let me just clarify that I would not encourage programs to offer subsidies until the members have explored what federal subsidies they're already eligible for, because it's very likely that most members will be eligible for some subsidies.
No, I'm not, but I'm just saying, if they have to pay something out of pocket, I can't pay every single member a different amount, because then that's not fair. They're getting different income, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think so. Again, this might be a follow-up in writing situation.
Well, let's say Rebecca goes on, and her premium is $100 a month, and I have another member go on, and her premium, $50 a month. If I reimburse them, I'm reimbursing them different amounts, which A, affects their income differently, and B, I'm treating them differently because I'm giving them different, essentially different pay.
Right. That's really up to your program, I believe, and based on your policy in terms of, you know, what you're willing to reimburse them for. I don't think it has to be fair, but I think it has to be something that's based on your policy and your practice of how you as an organization want to deal with that, if you are kind enough to offer some type of supplemental subsidy. So keep in mind, though, that there may be a possibility, it may be possible that members end up not having to pay anything or very, very little out of pocket, possibly, and certainly I would guess less than the $95 tax penalty, if they go on to healthcare.gov, get their subsidy, and can find the most affordable plan possible. They may have no premiums at all. I don't know for sure, but that may be a possibility.
This is Jacqueline over at 4-H.
Oh, sorry. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I just have a kind of general question, too, because I've been looking on, I've spent a fair amount of time on the healthcare website now, and if our insurance that we're offering does not meet the minimum essential coverage, is it not considered a job-based plan then?
You know, there was some discussion happening in the field about that. I don't have an answer to that. I don't believe it will be considered a job-based plan, unfortunately.
Okay.
But that might be something that comes out. I'm guessing that a corporation will publish FAQs. There may not
actually
be another email, but there will probably be FAQs.
Okay. Because that would definitely be in the members' favor if it was not considered a job-based plan. They would be eligible for much higher subsidies, I think.
Okay. My understanding, based on what I'm hearing from other states, is that it will likely not be considered a job-based plan, but I don't have official guidance on that.
Okay.
Good question. And I did receive a question through email just now that said, if we're offering health benefits through Summit, are we basically good? And I want to just answer that briefly and say that One Star cannot speak to whether or not you're good with just offering the Summit or Core Network plan. What I can tell you is that as of right now, you will be in compliance. If you're offering that plan, you will be in compliance with the AmeriCorps requirements, but members themselves as individuals will still need to determine how to meet the Affordable Care Act minimum essential coverage requirements after January 1st. So you all will be in compliance. They, as individuals, will need to figure out whether they would rather pay the $95 tax penalty or if they would rather apply for health benefits and see if they can qualify for a subsidy and find some type of ACA-compliant plan to also cover them. Keep in mind that if a member is purchasing very low-cost coverage on healthcare.gov, it will mostly just be covering catastrophic events. So it will not really be very comprehensive coverage if they were only relying on healthcare.gov. Affordable plans. Other questions? Also keep in mind that tax penalty, the $95 tax penalty, I've already asked the question whether or not that could be considered an allowable cost for programs to reimburse that tax penalty. And as of right now, my understanding is that no, because federal grants can pretty much never be used to pay taxes, fines, or penalties. Your program will likely not be able to reimburse members for that $95 tax penalty.
Emily, can we refer
can we reimburse them outside of the grant?
You can do whatever you want outside of the grant if it has nothing, if it doesn't never appears in any way either on your grantee share or your CNCS share. If you have private funds that you choose to reimburse members the tax penalty for from, you can do that. Keep in mind, though, that that's a temporary kind of stopgap measure, because when they finish their term of service and they have to go back out on the exchange or figure out if they, how to meet the ACA coverage if they don't have a job immediately, that they will then be subject to that fine again next year, and that my understanding is it increases every year, so the penalty kind of mounts on itself, basically, and it may be better for them to explore what options they have in terms of registering for an ACA-compliant plan. It may be less than the $95 even. It might tide them over longer than having to pay the fine every single year. Other questions?
So, Emily, this tax penalty, this is Mary Ellen again. If they're done serving with us in June, then they will have, and they go on to the exchange and get a fully compliant plan. Let's say they don't get a fully compliant plan before then their tax penalty would be based on just those 6 months, or it's 1% of what you made in a year in which you didn't have coverage?
That's probably a healthcare.gov question. That's probably a call the hotline question. But I do understand. My understanding is, oh, you do? I believe it's prorated, so that, hopefully that helps.
It is prorated. Yeah, I looked that up on healthcare.gov. It's 1/12 of 1% per month that you're not covered.
Okay, great. Thank you. Was that Jackie?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yay, Jackie.
Okay, other questions? I would just encourage your members to be smart consumers, and this will be, think of this as an exciting and interesting challenge for them to navigate healthcare.gov in early 2014 and to make a smart consumer decision about what is in their best interest long term. At the same time, they should continue to be offered the same AmeriCorps compliant health coverage that your program, you know, has previously offered. And hopefully you all have already kind of set that up and are prepared to continue offering that AmeriCorps-compliant coverage. If you have any questions about that, please let us know. Hopefully you all have an AmeriCorps-compliant provider as of right now. And if you don't, talk to us ASAP. Okay. Well, we're at 2 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and adjourn this call. Please let us know and follow up in writing if you have any questions that you think may need to be escalated to CNCS so that we can ideally get those covered in any forthcoming FAQ documents that come out. Thank you so much, and happy holidays. We'll talk to you in 2014.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.